All right, hang on. I am currently having some issues here. So
sports time radio.
Four.
All sports, all the time.
I finally got things up and running here on the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, I did say it was Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
All right, Stu, I did my best to screw it up, but I managed to figure it out, so how are you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, I turned the game off. Did the Cubs pull it out in the ninth inning?
Oh, I don't know. I gave up on it well before that, but I'm going to say no. But, hey, if you'd like to call in and tell Schomburg, Stu, and I how things went, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, you could email it to us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also find me on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime if you want to look me up there. And sadly, we don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but feel free to ship off whatever you need to tell him to me, and I will definitely pass it along for you. So there you go. We are up and running. So what is going on? What did we miss? There was one afternoon game today, and I do believe that the Giants did go on to beat the Cubs. Oh, was it 6-1?
That's the last I heard that I think Brian scored the run. I don't know if he got any hits today or not. He didn't look too good in his first three times at the plate.
Yeah, no, I saw the stat line on the post game, and I forgot what it was. I'll have to look up the box score here once my internet decides it wants to catch up with me, because I'm just having one of those days. But yeah, I think that was the Cubs' only run. Did Frank Schwindel homer? Was that the only run they scored?
That's it. And also, I think he got another hit. So one time during the game, late in the game, as I said, I didn't finish it. The Cubs had two hits, both of them by Frank Schwindel.
Huh. Yeah, well, you know, and what was really odd with that is it was a bullpen day for the Giants, so they weren't even really facing a starter. So,
well, it shows you've got a team with the best record in the majors going against right now one of the worst teams in the majors. So the outcome shouldn't surprise too many people.
No, yeah, I mean, if you were, a betting man, that was the Giants were definitely the pick. Even though you had to give runs, or I'm sure they were a heavy favorite, you probably wouldn't have won too much. Of course, being on the road, that always kind of helps to even things out. But, yeah, I'm sure the Giants were definitely the pick.
You can't fault Kyle Hendricks, though, for today. He pitched a very, very solid game, allowing only one run in six innings.
So, yeah, you know, I had the game on, but I was doing other things and just kind of, going through. So I while it was on, I wasn't, like, intently watching. So I'm not totally sure how it actually played out or who did what, but
it looked like they had a few more people in the stands today. I'm wondering if that's because of Chris Bryan returning.
Yeah, well, you would think that, and they're playing a good team. You know, you would think people would want to see the Giants. So
yeah, I don't think anybody expected the Giants to be to have the best record in the majors in mid-September.
Yeah, no, this is, they're, you know, between them and, you know, there are, you know, a couple other teams that have been surprising, but I think the Giants have probably been the biggest surprise out of everybody.
You know, I picked them for last, so I think I'm going to be a bit off of my prediction in that one.
Yeah, you know, I had them in third, but I didn't have them in the playoffs, which is obviously what they're going to be. You know, and you know, like everybody, it's better to win the division than get stuck in that one game wild card because you just never know what can happen there. So we'll see if they can, you know, keep going. But yeah, it's been impressive considering, you know, they, you know, nobody was in on the Giants. That's one thing you can say for sure. It was all Dodgers and Padres. So they're definitely a huge surprise.
Yeah, they're a great surprise. And right, by the way, they're three games up in the loss column to the Dodgers. But I think we can safely say one thing. Of the two playoff wildcard teams this season in the National League, the Dodgers are a lock to be one of them if they don't wind up passing the Giants in the standings.
Yeah, it's definitely – there's a guarantee that one of the wildcard spots is coming out of the NL West, be it – the Dodgers or the Giants. One of them is going to get that spot. So.
And it's possible it could be two because San Diego isn't that far behind.
San Diego does hold the spot right now. I know Cincinnati was close, but I don't know. You know, obviously dropping two of three to the Cubs isn't going to help your wild card resume there. So
no, and San Diego seems to be playing a little bit better the last couple of weeks, and they've, as you say, they slightly passed Cincinnati for the second wild card spot.
Yeah, it looked like it would actually be just the opposite with, you know, the matchups. You thought for sure Cincinnati would come in and easily take the series from the Cubs. But for whatever reason, it just didn't go that way.
It turned out to be three very competitive games, 4-3, each team winning 4-3, and the third game going into extra innings before the Cubs won with the Hayward walk-off. So those three games were quite competitive.
So yeah, it was you know, definitely a surprise. You know, even at home, you're not expecting the Cubs to win the series. Maybe a game, but not the series. And the final was 6-1 today. It did end that way.
I don't think either of us are too surprised about that.
Yeah, we had Brian ended up going 0-3 with a walk, and he did score. He struck out twice.
Right.
So.
He didn't look too good striking out. He looked like the old Chris Bryant to me when he was bad. But he's been pretty solid for San Francisco so far. I guess he's, in 260, 265 hitter right now?
Yeah, they have him at 265. My guess is that's for the season because, I can get his split numbers here in a minute, but that's what the box score has him as currently is 265. And like I said, I'm going to guess that's for the year.
Yeah.
For some reason, I think he was a little above that with the Giants, but I haven't
but not by a heck of a lot. I'd say if he is, it's maybe 10 points higher than that with the Giants, possibly.
Yeah, he actually is at 265 with the Giants. He was at 267 with the Cubs, so he's hitting obviously 266 on the year. So,
you know, I emailed you.
He does have 24 home runs and 65 RBIs.
Right. But I emailed you, and your opinion on this, as long as we're on the air, this is interesting. I don't think he's ever going to be as good as we all thought he was going to be when he came out of the minors. I'm not saying he's not a good, solid major league player. Far from that, he's excellent. He can play multiple positions. He can hit 20 to 30 home runs a year and drive in 80 runs. but he's never going to go up to that elite status that I thought he had a chance to do. I'm wondering if that was when he was hit with that dead ball, that and he started wearing that protective piece. If that kind of set him back for the rest of his career.
You know, you do wonder. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with the numbers he's putting up. Obviously, you'd like him, you know, more in the 280s or 290s where he was earlier in his career. And, you know, to add 20 points, I think a lot is going to depend on where he ends up and what kind of lineup he ends up in. You know, because if you can get with the right team and, you know, you're the guy in the right spot, you can still put up numbers as long as you hit. And he's always been able to do that.
That's true. And you made an interesting suggestion. You thought Philadelphia would be a great spot for him. And I'm wondering if he might strongly consider that because his buddy Bryce Harper is on the Phillies.
Yeah, well, that was part of the reason. Plus, you know, they had what everybody thought was their future third baseman, you know, in Alec Baum. He looked like, you know, he was going to lock down that position after last year, and he really struggled this year, and they ended up shipping him off to AAA. Now, you know, he is only 24, so it's not like though they would close the book on him, but if you think you're a contender like they look like they might be, you may want to take the upgrade there and bring in the veteran guy with the proven resume and see what you can do.
And Philadelphia has not shied away when it comes to giving out huge salaries too for the players they want to get.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, they paid Bryce Harper. They paid Zach Wheeler. Wheeler did actually take less to sign with the Phillies than what the White Sox offered him. You know, I believe, I'm trying to think if they paid Aaron Nola yet or not. I want to double-check that because, you know, he's going to be a guy who's coming up here soon. But, yeah, it's... You know, they haven't shied away, and, you know, they brought in Realmuto. So we'll see if, you know, they're willing to add one more big contract in Chris Bryant because, you know, we all know what he's going to ask for.
Especially knowing who his agent is, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to see how that shakes out, but, you know, the Giants have stated that they're very interested in bringing him back. So, you know, that could be, you know, a possibility there. And obviously, you know, there are going to be quite a few other teams that are in the running for him, and especially now that he's shown his, you know, his versatility and that he can play multiple positions and still produce, that's going to add a lot of value to his contract.
I'm wondering, we're talking about San Francisco now, about how great they've been this season. But I'm wondering if they can continue to do that next year, and I say that for one reason. They don't have a very young ball club in general. All they have guys in their mid-30s, so you have to wonder if they can sustain this for next season or not.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other interesting thing with San Francisco is Johnny Cueto is in the last year of his deal. He has a club option. Kevin Gausman is only signed for this year. Buster Posey has a club option for next year, and Brandon Belt hits free agency after this year. They've got a lot of guys who are – my guess is they don't pick up Cueto's option. Posey will be interesting because it is $22 million. That's a lot of money. I don't think they have any interest in bringing Belt back at this point. So there's a lot of guys there that are going to hit the market, and especially Gausman, you know, with the year he's had, that price tag is going to go way up. So it's going to be interesting how they handle it this off season.
If I were a betting man, I would predict that they would not make the playoffs next season. I would see them behind the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yeah, and, you know, you would think, I mean, you know, who knows, maybe they could find a way to get into that second wild card again. But, yeah, it's going to be tough to repeat the success they had this year. So, you know, we'll have to see. And, you know, in all honesty, with the way their salary structure is set up, I think they were planning on going into rebuild mode until they started winning this year.
Yeah, this has been really a shocking success for them, and no one anticipated it.
So, yeah, you know, it'll be quite interesting to see how, you know, their off season plays out and what they do with some of these guys. And, you know, you do have to wonder if a team sweeps in and tries to steal, like, you know, especially Kevin Gausman, you know,
yeah,
with the year he's had. I mean, he's going to be he's in the running for the Cy Young.
Yeah, that's they have to watch out for that too as well. And right now, you know, regarding the NL and AL, by this time of the year, I could usually think to myself, well, I think it's going to be these two teams in the World Series. And this year, I haven't a clue. It's up for grabs in both leagues. It's going to be a crazy playoff scenario when it starts. I couldn't tell you who the favorites would be.
Yeah, it's been, well, you know, something obviously baseball wants, you know, that's made it a very interesting season. But, yeah, I don't think we've seen that one dominant team, you know, to step forward and just be like, oh, okay, they're definitely it. At times, you know, teams have dominated, but, you know, at this point, especially over in the American League, hell, we don't even know who the wild card teams are going to be with the way, you know, the way things are going there. You know, the Yankees have struggled so badly, losing six in a row, that the Red Sox have moved in front of them, and the Blue Jays are only a half a game behind them, with the Mariners and the A's just two back now.
Yeah, I was going to say there's four or five teams in contention to get their wild card spots, and it's going to be a hectic last few weeks of the season. And right now, Tampa has the best record in the American League. But I can't quite consider them a lock to win the American League championship either. I mean, they're a good team, but it's going to be a toss-up.
Yeah, and, you know, even in the National League, while the one spot is locked up, San Diego's only a game ahead of Cincinnati. St. Louis is three back. Philly is three and a half back. And, you know, the Mets have a long way to go. They're five back, but it's not impossible.
No, and yeah, St. Louis still has a chance too. And I'd say of all the teams that have a chance, I think Philadelphia might has the best chance to sneak in a surprise and get a playoff spot. And they're not that far behind Atlanta either. They're only a couple games behind Atlanta.
Yeah. Oddly, they're three and a half. They're three and a half out of the wild card and three and a half behind Atlanta. So
this is the time
of
the year when if a team that's in playoff contention gets hot, they can knock down a spot. But we have to see some team really stepping it up now the last few weeks and get hot and win 13 or 15 games, 13 or 16 games, and really nail down a playoff spot.
Yeah, and, well, you know, and right now that's the Blue Jays, who are on an eight-game winning streak.
Yeah, they're playing terrific ball.
Yeah. You know, and that, you know, that's obviously brought them right back into contention, you know, because for a while it looked like, yeah, you know, they're not going to get there. But, you know, surprisingly, you know, they go rolling into New York and take four games, you know, they sweep a four-game series in Yankee Stadium. you know, which was really impressive because everybody was back on the Yankee bandwagon, and now they go to Baltimore, so you would think the winning streak would continue.
Did you read that interesting stat about that four-game sweep?
No, I don't pay attention to what a lot of those idiots have to say.
It's interesting that this is the first time this has happened, I don't know how many years, but in all four games, the Yankees never had the lead in one of those four games, and this is something that hasn't happened for, if ever, in 80, 90 years, if it ever happened before. Not one of those four games at home in which they were swept, did they ever have the lead, which is incredible when you think about it.
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting that they, you know, they managed to somehow do that.
Even with Rizzo in their lineup.
Yeah, who did homer last night? So.
Yeah, he starts to. I guess he kind of did taper off a bit after he was out with COVID, but he seems to be hitting again over the last week or so, a little bit better than he was before.
Yeah, definitely. Well, here's a funny baseball story for you. I'm sure you remember former Cub great Mike Montgomery, don't you?
Name sounds familiar, yes.
Yeah, well, this year he is pitching in the Korean baseball organization. He couldn't get a major league deal this year. And, you know, a lot of guys will go over there and try to revive their career. Well, in Korea, they have a 12-second pitch rule. Well, he got warned in his last game. He's pitching for the Samsung Lions over there and actually was so upset that he hit the umpire with the rosin bag, and his teammates had to restrain him after he got ejected from doing that. It says on Friday, but I don't know if this is today or last Friday, depending on when the story came out. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
He
apparently snapped.
Was he in the mound? Was he in the mound when he threw the rosin bag at the umpire?
You know, it appears that he was, according to the story, but they don't officially say. So.
Well, he was. What is the rule then? If he doesn't abide by the 12-second rule, that he just call the pitch a ball?
You know, I believe that they don't go into the rule here. So, but yeah, apparently he was not on the mound. It says he charged towards the umpire as he was being restrained by teammates. He then fired the rosin bag at the back of the umpire who was talking to his manager.
Well, I think that's he was at least prudent and did that without throwing the rosin bag instead of throwing the baseball.
Yeah, much better to throw the rosin bag than the baseball. But, yeah, either way, you got to figure he's probably going to get some time off for that one. So.
You would think so. And I didn't see that story. That's quite interesting, though.
Yeah, I just caught that. I thought that was kind of, especially since it involved a former Cub. He did spend four seasons with the Cubs. So.
And I have a feeling he would never do that in MLB.
You do wonder if they ever get a pitch clock in like they've talked about, if, you know, that's possible. But, yeah, you would think that, you know, guys would control themselves. And the weird part is he's not having a very good year over there. He's 1-2 with a 5.45 ERA. So he's not over there tearing it up.
One thing I've noticed regarding these rule changes you're talking about is that some years, if you remember this a few years ago, the umpires started to enforce the balk rule. And they were calling balks like crazy the first few weeks of the season. And after that, things are back to normal. Did they forget about it? I mean, did all the pitchers adhere to the rules properly, or did something? It happened in the first few weeks, and it virtually ignored for the rest of the year.
Well, you know, the NBA does that all the time. You know, well, we're going to focus on this, and then they call it for a little while, and it goes away. Obviously, traveling is never one of those things, but, you know, everything else is. But, you know, like a pitch clock, we'll actually have a pitch clock on the field, so you'll be everybody will be able to see it. So that would be something they would probably call.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they that's one of the rules, the new rules in the CBA.
So, yeah, and then finally, it was finally official today. Trevor Bauer had his administrative leave, as they call it, extended through the remainder of the regular season. So the big question becomes, what happens to him next year? You know, you'd like to think the court cases will be wrapped up by then. Do we get a suspension? He does have an option, a player option. You know, he can either opt out or stay with the Dodgers. You got to think in the situation he's in and all the money that's on that contract that he's going to stay. So that'll be quite an interesting drama to see how it plays out here. But I'm glad they finally made a decision on this and just decided to sideline him. I got sick of reading that it was extended. Like, just come on, let's put the guy out of his misery here.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm not surprised that they made that decision.
No, not at all. You know, I just kind of figured this was the deal right from the start. I don't know why they waited so long.
Is it possible that they suspend him for the entire 2022 season as well before they reinstate him?
You know, depending, I think, on the outcome of what goes on with him, it's quite possible that, yeah, he could get a full game suspension. So.
And you have to think about something else, too. What about jail time? Because I read some of the things he did, and it's pretty reprehensible.
He hasn't been charged with a crime yet. As far as I know, they were still investigating. It's just been a civil lawsuit that's been brought by the woman he was with, and I know apparently somebody attempted to bring a second one against him, but I believe that one was denied. But, you know, we're looking at a guy that, you know, his contract for next year is a little over $35 million. You know, being on administrative leave, he still gets paid. When he's suspended, that goes away.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Do you get the impression? I think I'm beginning to get the impression that some large sums of money will be extended to the two women involved here, and they'll both sign NDAs, and it'll all go away eventually. Although I think the suspension might continue for at least maybe half of next season. But I think that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, you know, the odd part is apparently the woman who brought the civil suit asked for money already, and Bauer turned her down. Or I should say Bauer's attorney turned her down. So you do wonder if there is some type of negotiation going on, you know, and we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see how it goes and where it works out, you know, how it works out. But
I think that's there'll be some kind of a settlement, and with the non-disclosure agreement, and we'll all move forward.
Yeah, and then, of course, the other thing, that any kind of settlement between Bauer and the victim, you know, in this case, will also probably include her not testifying against him in a court case if criminal charges are brought.
Oh, of course.
So
naturally.
That will basically kill any criminal charges that would be brought against him, because they won't have a witness.
And if there isn't that, say there is a settlement, and there's no witness to witness that no, and there's no criminal charges, the club still has a moral clause they can impose, can't they?
You know, there is, but I don't know all the specifics with it comes to something like that. So it would be interesting to see if or how that would play out.
Yeah, you wonder what's going to happen with that one, but I'd look for some resolution during the off season.
You would like to think, you know, they'll get it get the case wrapped up, you know, and you would think a guy that's, you know, in the process of making, you know, like this year he's being paid a little over $31 million. You'd like to think he would have been a little generous with an offer to make this go away, but apparently not.
Yeah, and that surprised me. But I have a feeling he's going to change his tune, though, during the off season.
So, yeah, you know, and of course, depending on how the case is going, you know, his lawyer will be able to give him a read and let him know, you know, if it's going their way or not, because obviously that would facilitate a quicker settlement.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out, but either way, and again, depending on what is actually true in this and what really happened, which we'll never know, is, you know, just going to depend on how Major League Baseball handles it and what they do.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the old standard he said, she said type of thing, and there will be a settlement.
Yeah.
And I think baseball would like to put this behind them because they got more important issues to deal with during the offseason, obviously.
Yeah, well, you know, and oddly, this isn't as front and center as I thought it might be when it comes to baseball. You know, it received a little bit of publicity to start, but then it just kind of went away.
Yeah, you know, once it's out of the public's mind, so to speak, and they start paying attention to other things, it just kind of gets buried. But we know it hasn't been resolved yet, and we're both not surprised about extending it to the entire end of the season, which is kind of a foregone conclusion. But I hope that it gets resolved now during the offseason, and I'm sure it will.
Yeah, there's probably, because to drag it on that much longer just wouldn't be worth it.
No.
So yeah, we'll have to kind of see how it plays out. But yeah, hopefully they wrap this up and they figure out whatever it is they need to figure out, whether he's guilty or innocent, or, you know, if what really happened, you know, that'll be the key.
Yeah, well, I would be pretty much adamant in believing that there's going to be an NDA and it's going to some kind of a settlement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's, you know, I mean, basically, you know, Deshaun Watson is, you know, dealing with the same thing. And, you know, I know Houston announced that Tyrod Taylor will start week one for them. And it doesn't even look like Watson will end up being active. So we'll see. But, he's still active.
And there hasn't been any kind of a update on that situation either.
So, yeah, no, nothing has really come out. So, you know, that was another one that quieted down, and yet he's still got 20-some-odd cases, you know, of sexual assault that are, you know, going to get civil hearings.
It'll be interesting to see how many weeks it's going to be out, if not for the whole season.
So yeah, I obviously once these get going, it's gonna roll. So
yeah, it's too bad these things happen when you, instead of concentrating on the sport itself, you have to at least side things that are going on, and which are quite unpleasant to read about.
Yeah, it's it's unfortunate. I mean, not everybody is a good person like we would hope, and unfortunately, sometimes when you have a lot of money, you think you can get away with whatever you want.
And that used to be true many years ago, but now with the age of the internet and everything else, it seems that it's a lot more difficult to get away with these things anymore.
It's definitely, I would almost want to say frightening at some point. You got to be really careful, especially when you have money, because not only, can this happen to you, but there will be people out there who will try to extort it from you in situations like this. So.
Yeah, and things like this have been going on in Hollywood for years. You've heard the old cliche about the casting couch. Yeah. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, those turned out to be true. But maybe those days are behind us, too. Who knows?
Yeah, you hope, that would be the case. But, unfortunately, you never know.
No. And there have been some nasty incidents in that industry also over the last few years.
Yeah, definitely. So, but all right. Well, we had the football season kicked off last night. I hope you got to watch it. The defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers did manage to be victorious. They beat the Dallas Cowboys 31-29, which, from what I heard, was a very exciting game. Obviously, with my work schedule, I don't see a lot of the Thursday night games. I did make it almost to halftime. So
that was a good ball game. Now, Tampa won the game by two. Did Tampa get the 2-point safety, or was it their opponents who got the 2-point safety yesterday?
Let me double check on that and see if I can find it here real quick. But again, that means I have to depend on my internet, and we know how that takes off. I believe Dallas missed an extra point.
They missed a couple of field goals last night too. One of them was a chip shot, if I remember, a 35 yarder they missed.
Did they?
Yeah, that was a, well, by today's standards, it's a chip shot, right? Isn't that considered almost that's an extra point, is what, 33 yards?
Oddly, they don't have a safety in the scoring summary.
I thought for sure there was a safety early on during the early part of the game, first or second quarter. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll have to double-check it.
No, yeah, they have three field goals and 7 touchdowns.
Hmm.
But yeah, no safety apparently.
Hmm. But of course, that was a 2-point victory for Tampa last night. But yeah, they missed a 35-yard field goal, and then they tried a crazy one. Maybe near the end of the half, it was 60 yards or plus, and that was short. But there's no.
Yeah,
that was desperation.
Tampa Bay beat them with on a field goal with 2 seconds left. So, obviously, Dallas played pretty well. I know Tampa Bay had some turnovers that cost them, some score in some scoring situations. But, both quarterbacks played pretty well. I mean, Prescott threw for 3 TDs and Brady threw for 4. So not much rushing last night. Not too many guys running the football.
No, but it was an exciting game to kick off the season, though.
Yeah, which is obviously, you know, what the NFL wanted. So, you know, we'll see how much of that momentum carries over into Sunday, which it should, being week one. You know, everybody's going to be pumped for the NFL. And, I mean, I know you're already excited for the Bears game Sunday night. So
7:20 kickoff. NBC, I think it's on NBC.
Yeah, the Sunday night games are on NBC. So, it will be interesting to see what games we end up getting in our area. My guess is for sure we'll get the Green Bay-New Orleans game as the second game on Fox. But I don't know. You know, maybe we'll get Minnesota-Cincinnati first. And I don't know who's Detroit playing, because we get the – Detroit's playing San Francisco early. So, I assume we'll get Minnesota over Detroit, you would think, early, and then Green Bay late.
Yeah, the 3 o'clock game, probably, for sure.
So, it's almost a guarantee that, you know, Joe Buck will be doing that late Green Bay, New Orleans game, so I'll get to listen to him, because I love Joe Buck and Troy Aikman so much.
Yeah, right. Your favorite announcers.
Yeah, that's just one of those things. But yeah, you know, it'll be nice to get things going. You know, even though to me it's still more baseball season than football, but. You know, that's just kind of how it goes. I know there are people out there just dying to get football started. Maybe not
right.
In Chicago, because the Bears probably aren't very good, but
no.
in a lot of other there's people, you know, ready for football.
You have any upset predictions that they might possibly get into the Super Bowl? Like, I'm thinking of one or two teams maybe might surprise people. I'm thinking maybe Cleveland.
Well,
I actually did
put my Super Bowl picks in Wednesday's blog. So if you go to sportstimeradio.com, you can see them. And I go with I wanted to pick a couple different teams this year, so I went with Seattle and Cleveland to meet in the Super Bowl, because I just couldn't pick a rematch like a lot of people are doing.
Well, Seattle's a good choice.
So.
They're always solid, and they're almost impossible to beat at home.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then, you know, I wanted to go with something a little different. You know, I know there are a lot of people who are on the Buffalo bandwagon, and obviously Kansas City is the favorite.
Yeah.
But I thought, what the heck, I'll throw Cleveland's name out there and see how that works out.
Well, Cleveland certainly improved over the last 2 or 3 years.
So,
no,
yeah, you know, and it looks like, it looks like it should be a decent pick. And, now that the Ravens have lost their top 3 running backs for the season due to injury, that may help them Cleveland even more.
Of course, Baltimore does have a pretty decent defense, though.
Yeah, and they do have, you know, obviously their best running back has always been Lamar Jackson, their quarterback, but, you know, you do like to have somebody else back there with them, and I know they've brought in a ton of veterans. They signed Le'Veon Bell, Devonta Freeman, and I believe they're in talks with Latavius Murray, but, it's not 2016, so that's not going to be the frightening backfield it may have been.
No, no longer, but... They have a shot at the playoff berth, I'm sure. And do you think New England can bounce back and get into the playoffs this year? I think they have a shot at it after a bad last season.
I was surprised at all to see them end up as a wild card team. I don't think they're better than Buffalo. But, if they ended up in a wild card, that wouldn't shock me at all.
No, they usually rebound from an off season, which they had last year.
You know, and I mean, you know, they look like a, you know, a little bit of a better team. You know, but again, you know, it's just, it's so hard to tell going into the start of the season. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, sure, they'll be good. Why not?
Yeah, the first game is going to be kind of tricky this year because of the crazy exhibition season and a lot of teams not playing their regulars too much. So, although it didn't seem to bother Brady last night, did it?
No, you know, and that the new team, you know, the new thing is coaches really love that inner squad scrimmage that they do instead of the exhibition games.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always surprised at those with those scrimmages. There seems to be some bad blood sometimes in those things. It's not even a real game.
Yeah, he's always bad. So, you know, there's no way none of those don't end without a fight. It's just how it goes for whatever reason. So.
Yeah, I'm wondering if a lot of those fights happen with players who are on the bubble.
Yeah, well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, guys trying to hang on to a spot, you know, get heated over something that happens. So.
Well, it's good to be talking about football again.
Well, until the Bears start playing, right? Oh, so.
Well, my understanding, the last I looked, they're only 7.5-point underdogs for the game. For Sunday night, or I'm not sure if that's changed yet or not.
Yeah. So yeah, I haven't did not look yet. So.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to.
I expect them to lose, but I just hope they don't embarrass themselves on national TV.
Yeah, it's a tough start, you know. I mean, they draw what a lot of people think is going to be the best defense in football, you know, with a, you know, for a team that doesn't exactly have a great offense. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I emailed you, and I remember one year when the Bears were really bad, and somehow they got on Monday Night Football, and they were so bad that the late Howard Cosell was kind of laughing at them after the game. They said, oh, Quebec could turn the game around when it was about 42-3 at this point when the Bears may have made a first down. And that was kind of embarrassing for the city of Chicago, so I would like to see at least a semi-decent performance by them Sunday night.
Yeah, you can only hope. You know, unfortunately, there's only – you know, so much we're going to get from this team, but, you know, who knows? Maybe they can hang around and make it a little competitive?
We would hope so, and I've been looking at some of the expert predictions, and most of them are kind of coinciding with what you said, about maybe 7 wins.
Yeah, I'm right in the area of 6 or 7, and then we go on the hunt for a new head coach and a new general manager.
Yeah, exactly. So who's going to wind up in second place in the North ahead of behind Green Bay?
Yeah, it's got to be Minnesota. I mean, I think Detroit probably finishes behind the Bears.
Yeah, I suppose so. But, boy, none of those three teams excite me very much.
Yeah, I mean, I would be shocked to see a second playoff team come out of the NFC. What are they, the North now?
Yeah, they're the North.
You know, I always forget. It'll always be the Central to me, so, you know.
You've noticed, of course, that for the last month or so, the furor about Rodgers has died down a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, that doesn't surprise me. You know, that's how, you know, all this stuff goes. You get excited about something, and then, you know, once he reported, you knew it was over. You know, and then we'll figure out if this actually does end up being his last year in Green Bay or how, you know, how it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be something if he left after this season, but I could see it happening.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, for whatever reason, he seems to want to get out of there. I don't know what the issue is behind it or whatever it is, but he seems to want out, so.
Maybe he's tired of playing in the 10 below zero weather in December.
Yeah, well, you know, the weird thing for me is I don't understand where thinks he's going to go, that he's going to have a better chance to win.
Good point.
So, you know, I mean, like, okay, I get it. You know, maybe you feel disrespected or how whatever you're thinking, but, you know, and all the reports seem to have him going to Denver. Does he really think that gonna win more games in Denver than in Green Bay?
Yeah, it doesn't look likely. And Denver, of course, has fielded some good teams over the years, but I'm not sure if they're as good as the Packers anymore. I doubt it this season, especially.
Yeah, I just, that's just one of those things, and I get it. You know, his fiance has a home there. That's where she lives. So maybe, you know, that's his reason for wanting to go there. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he does at the end of the season.
So yeah, well, you know, we'll see. It'll definitely be something that everybody keeps their eye on, and then once the season ends, that'll probably be all they talk about.
Yeah, well, you don't see him retiring after this season.
You know, that's a possibility too. You know, I mean, he doesn't seem to be a Tom Brady type guy who's married to the game, but I do think a few seasons ago he said he was going to play till he was 40, and he's not quite there yet. So, who knows?
He's getting close.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just one of those situations. So,
How do the Packers get these quarterbacks, and the Bears suffer year after year after year without having anybody in that – and that is good.
A lot of it comes from, you know, development. You know, you get a guy in and, you know, you need the system. And obviously Rodgers is talented. And the Bears did pass on him in that draft. They could have had him. Remember, he went 28th. So there were a lot of teams that could have had him and passed on him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and obviously it's scouting and everything else that kind of goes into it.
Well, yeah. In recent years, the Bears have passed on a couple of good quarterbacks also. I won't mention any names.
Yeah. Well, you know, like my question always becomes, what did they see in Mitchell Trubisky that they liked him better than Patrick Mahomes?
Well, my answer to that is how he performed in the exhibition game against the Bears.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, Patrick Mahomes would stink in this system as well. They wouldn't be going to the Super Bowl like a lot of people think, because you need the personnel around you, which they don't really have. So, but yeah, it's
said,
just kind of,
yeah, it's too bad.
How it is.
That being said, you think the quarterback spot will go to the rookie in the fourth week of the season?
You know, I think eventually, yeah, I think eventually if Matt Nagy's going to try to save his job, he's got to go to Justin Fields. because that's what everybody's going to want. So.
And don't be surprised if he falls on his face, too, because he's a rookie, and most of them take time to adapt to the NFL style of play.
You know, he's a rookie, and the team around him is terrible. So,
yeah,
you know,
double whammy. Double whammy, right?
He's going to. Yeah. But, all right, well, let's get into some predictions here for you. You did go 3-1 last week, so you are 64-53 on the season. And, obviously, you can't pick the Cubs game tonight, so we'll jump into the White Sox. But we're going to do the over-under for runs scored in tonight's White Sox-Red Sox game is 8.5. Are you going over or under on that one?
And how about the pitching lines? I haven't checked the pitching lines yet.
Well, the Red Sox are still undecided, but the White Sox are going with Dylan Cease.
Well,
no, wait, that's tomorrow. Let me double check. I'm on the wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. The Red Sox are going with Tanner Houck, and the White Sox are going with Carlos Rodon.
I'm going to take a chance here, since they're playing at home and that ball jumps there. I'm going to say over.
All right. Then we'll stick with the White Sox and the Red Sox. And now I got it right. The Red Sox are undecided on tomorrow's starter. The White Sox are going with Dylan Cease. And just straight up, who wins this game?
We're talking about tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah, Saturday.
I'll go for the White Sox winning that one.
All right. So, and now we'll jump into the Cubs here, but we're gonna round it out for over 2 days. Now tomorrow it's Kevin Gausman against Zach Davies, and then on Sunday we get Logan Webb against Justin Steele. So the question simply is. Do the Cubs win 2, lose 2, or do we get a split?
Lose 2.
Oh, all right. You're going with the Giants sweep there, huh? All right. So, and then, of course, we'll finish out your weekend of picks. Bears at the Rams. You going with the Rams?
Does grass grow?
All right. And then not that this one counts, but do you have them covering the 7.5 if you were betting on them today?
I think the Rams will win by more than the line.
Oh, all right. So there you go. We got you all set and tied up for the weekend. So we'll see how you do. And, yeah, you've been doing much better lately. So hopefully that will continue for you.
Well, I'm due for a losing weekend. Maybe this one will be it.
Well, I thought maybe you were getting advice. But all right, well, speaking of the weekend, let's start ours. All the music was sounding free and I was taken off. Now, while we're talking, you know the deal. BoardFunRadio.com before you do on top of the whole world of fun woman. Of course, while you're there, you can follow the link over to the BoardFun Radio Facebook page. You went all the way over there. You might have won't miss that in life. But don't forget, we have the Twitter feed with you. At Burstown Radio. Now, I am also on Twitter at Burstown. That's BURKETIME if you want to look me up there. And if you stop by and listen to Q&A Live, well, hey, thanks for doing that. But if you did miss out for whatever reason, all you got to do is head over to TuneIn.com and listen to the same time you want. All right, everybody, have a safe weekend. We'll talk to you next week.